This message will inspire and empower you to move forward.
Pandemic, all of this, these circumstances around us are temporary. They are seasonal. And together we're going to see God take us through in the name of Jesus. So we're praying for you right now and believing God that the best days are out in front of us in the name of Jesus. Tonight I want to share with you a message out of the book of Peter, chapter 1 and verse 3. It simply says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, according to His great mercy. He has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Christ from the dead, to an inheritance that is imperishable, undefiled, and unfading, kept in heaven for you." Tonight, I'm preaching part 3 of a message entitled, "The Last Words from the Cross." The last words from the cross. Tonight, we're going to be touching on the last words that Jesus spoke from the cross. See, a person's last words when they are near the point of death are the most urgent and the most important words that any person could ever speak. I've had the privilege of sitting at many hospital beds as people have passed from this life into the next life. And those last few words are the summary of an entire lifetime's experience. And they're brought down into nugget form. Most important words that a person could ever say are said in their final moments. And tonight I want to share with you some of the most important words shared by our Savior, His last words from the cross. Today we're celebrating an event that over a billion people around the world are also celebrating with us today. It's an event rooted in history and timeless in its impact. 2,000 years ago, on Calvary, there began a ripple. And that ripple reverberates through history still today. That ripple has touched the four corners of the globe. That ripple began with Jesus and 12 and now is impacting over 2.3 billion people on planet Earth. What began with a little ripple now literally has resulted in one out of three people on planet Earth will now declare that they're a follower of Christ. Everything begins with a ripple. For me, it began two generations ago with my grandfather. My grandfather was a Presbyterian minister, and we learned in his household a lifestyle of faith. We learned what it is to pray. We learned what it is to read God's word. And he passed that down to his children and passed that down now to his children's children. And even now for me, have passed it down to my children. That literally what began in a ripple three generations ago has impacted his children and now his grandchildren. That's me. And we'll go even further to his great-grandchildren, that he was the first. And that ripple has reverberated throughout generations. And I believe that there are many people who are watching and that God wants to use you to be the first. That God wants to use you to be the ripple and cause a ripple effect that would reverberate through history, that would reverberate through your family, reverberate for generations to come. I want to encourage you that God only needed 12 to touch the whole world, and God could use you to touch the whole world. So 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 3, as we come together to celebrate the resurrection of Christ, we're reminded that the resurrection of Christ was not just an experience for the masses. It was not just a corporate experience, but it was a personal experience. It was a personal encounter. "For what I received," verse 3, "I passed on to you as of first importance. What I received, I passed on to you. That Christ died for our sins, according to the Scriptures, that He was buried, and that He was raised again on the third day, according to the Scriptures." Death lost its sting that day, 2,000 years ago. Death was swallowed up in victory because Jesus Christ was resurrected from the grave. He was resurrected to life. And because He was resurrected to life, then you and I are resurrected to life. He didn't come just to make bad people good. Jesus came to make dead people alive, to resurrect them from their old life into a glorious new life. And Easter is a celebration of that resurrection. Easter represents renewal, new life, and unconditional love as we come together to celebrate. The Easter experience is summarized in this one sentence: a world in which God has the last word. And tonight, I want to share with you part three of the last words from the cross. Some of his last words are found in this passage of Scripture, John chapter 19, verse 30, where he said on the cross, he said these words, "It is finished." Verse 30, when he had received the drink, Jesus said, "It is finished." And with that, he bowed his head and he gave up his spirit. When he said those words, "It is finished," it literally meant that he had completed the work that Christ had sent him to do. He didn't say, "I am finished." So it wasn't that like he was exhausted. It wasn't like that he was depleted. He said, "It is finished." In other words, he was saying that he had fulfilled what he'd come to the earth to do. He had completed his calling. He didn't say it has finished. In other words, it wasn't about the fact that it's past tense, that it's happened, that it has finished. He said it is finished. And that word, "it is finished," comes from the original Greek word, tetelestai, which literally means not only it is finished, not only has it been finished, but it also continues to be finished in the name of Jesus. That his finished work reached back into his history. It touches us now in our present and it steps forward into our future. It is finished. In other words, he offers to you and I a call. You and I have a calling. You and I are called by God. God has a purpose and a plan for you. John chapter 15, verse 16, it says these words. He says, "You didn't choose me." This is God speaking. He's saying to you and I, "You didn't choose me, but I chose you. And I appointed you." In other words, I called you. In other words, I predestined you. I anointed you so that you might go and bear fruit. And not just kind of temporary fruit, but fruit that will last, fruit that will remain. And so that whatever you ask in my name, the Father will give you. Every person right now watching this, you have a calling. You are chosen. You are appointed. You are anointed. That God offers to you and I, some of his last words from the cross, he offers to you and I purpose. He offers to you and I a destiny. The truth is, the number one question I get now as a pastor is different words, but they mean the same thing. The question is this: what am I here to do? What am I called to? Why am I alive? And my friend, Christ offers you and I the gift of being called. He's chosen you and I. He's chosen you and I to do something great for his name. And friend, we don't need to look to the left or to the right to discover that call. We don't need to look to other people to discover that call. We need to look to God and say, "God, what am I called to do?" And when you ask him, do something radical. Listen for the answer. Let him speak. In fact, right now, I believe he's speaking to hearts right now. There are people watching right now. You are called to business. There are people right now. You are called to music. There are people right now. You are called to teach. You're called to perhaps go into politics. There are people who are called to the arts. There are people who are called to politics right now. God offers you and I the gift of a call. Respond to the call. Don't respond to people's call. Don't respond to a culture's call. Don't respond to what other people are doing. No, respond to God's call. What is God calling you to? Because God has gifted you and I with a call. And the last thing in part three of the words that Christ spoke from the cross, the last words, is found in Luke chapter 23, verse 46. "Father, into thy hands I commit my spirit." He said, "It is finished." And then he called out in a loud voice and he says, "Into your hands I commit my spirit." And when he'd said this, he breathed his last. What did he do with his very last words? He put his hope in his God. He put his hope and his Savior. When that happened, when he prayed those words, the Bible tells us that in the temple, the veil was torn, the curtain was torn, in the most holy of holy places. There was a place that separated the ordinary people from the presence of God. When he spoke those words, the Bible says that the veil was torn from the top to the bottom. In other words, it wasn't torn from man. Man didn't tear it down, but it was torn from the top. God tore it down. He took away every divide. He took away every curtain. He took away every sense of separation between God and man, and he tore the veil. And on the cross, when Jesus died, and he said, "Into your hands I commit my spirit," he was simply saying, "I've made it now possible for man to have a relationship with God. I've done what man could not do on their own. I paid a price." And he said, "Father, into your hands I commend my spirit." And he offered to you and I hope. That no matter who we are, that no matter how unworthy you feel, no matter how distant you feel from God, no matter what you've done in your life and no matter who you've done it with, there's hope for you, friend. Maybe you feel undeserving of God's love. I want to encourage you today. You're not. God loves you. There's nothing you can do to make God love you more. There's nothing you can do to make him love you less. He loves you. You can place your hope in a Savior. About 4 years ago, there was a young girl that came to our church, and she entered the doors of the church, and she got involved in our youth program, and she came to church on the Sunday. And on that particular Sunday, when she came to the church, she'd never been to a church before, beautiful young girl. On that Sunday, she gave her life to Jesus. Well, the following Sunday was Mother's Day, and so she invited her mother to come to church the following Sunday, and the church wasn't a church-going family, the family wasn't a church-going family, and so she invited her mother to come. And that following Sunday on Mother's Day, her mother came. And on that day, her mother gave her life to Jesus too. See, the thing about this particular family is that the reason that they'd moved to the Gold Coast was actually because their family was part of a gang. And they'd moved to the Gold Coast to start a gang. And that their father was the leader of this gang, and that he was coming to start this on the Gold Coast. And so then, the following weekend, the daughter and the mother are on the way to church. And the father speaks up and says, "Where are you guys going?" And they say, "We're going to church." He says, "Well, I better come check it out." And so he comes along to check it out. And he comes along that day. And I'll never forget that day, because on that day, he gave his life to Jesus. See, with everything that he'd been through, with everything that he'd seen, with everything that he'd done, he discovered that day that there was a God who forgave him, that he could put his hope in a Savior who had a great plan and a great destiny for his life. And on that day, he made a decision to make his peace with God, and he gave his life to Jesus. The next day, he calls up those that had sent him over, and he called them up and he said, "Hey, listen, I don't want to be in your gang anymore. I've got a new gang. I'm a part of God's gang. I'm going to be a gangster for God. I want you to now to know that now, 4 years on, from that day till now, that family have never missed a day in church. I want you to know that family right now, they're involved in ministry school. The daughter was an intern. I want you to know that right now that God has a great plan for their lives, far different from the plan that they ever imagined, that they ever thought, because they found their hope in a Savior. Right now, in fact, there's some of our leaders. There's some of the leaders in our church. And I want to encourage you that God can use you. And God can take you from wherever you are, wherever you feel like you are. And God can use you to do something great. Right now, if you're watching and you say,
"Thanks for listening. If you'd like more information, please visit our website, forwardchurch.com.